Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We've been talking on VFN Radio about Pastor Saeed. I don't know if you remember Pastor Saeed, but he's an American-Iranian-born pastor who's jailed in Iran right now, being severely beaten. And he's experiencing even internal bleeding. And his story has really, his as long as with Pastor Youssef prior to him, who's really served the 3-year sentence for evangelizing Muslims in Iran. And, you know, their persecution has, you know, garnered a lot of attention. And now there's two young women, there's two Iranian Christian women who told their own personal story of persecution in Iran. And this isn't a remarkable, amazing story. I mean, these women wound up putting a book together. It's called Captive in Iran. Once you hear their story, you're going to be, challenged, moved, in awe of God. But both of these women were raised in Iran as Muslims, but had questions about their faith. And they had learned Quran in Arabic, but they wondered why God didn't speak to them in their own Persian language. And so one of these ladies experienced a number of dreams and visions of Jesus.
Oh, wow.
And she says that she met Jesus. She says, "I met Jesus in front of myself, and he was standing next to a large throne that was covered with shining gold." And amazing. Well, shortly after, they wound up giving their life to the Lord. And these two women, Pat, Chris, these two women said, "God gave us a vision to distribute the Bible among the Iranian people."
Oh, wow.
So, you know, you say, "Oh, wow, that's nice. That's nice," right? So you guys going to give out, you know, 20, couple hundred, you know, 1,000 Bibles, praise the Lord. Look, you, man, great. No, not 1,000, not 500. They distributed 20,000 Bibles in their backpacks.
Wow.
At night.
Wow.
At night, putting them in their mailboxes. I want you to listen to their story. This is an extended interview that CBN is bringing to us. And I want you to listen to their story because it's amazing. But two women who are in love with Jesus, who had an encounter with God. This is their journey and what happened. I want you to listen up.
Miriam Ross Tampoor had come home from a dentist appointment and was resting on her couch when her doorbell rang. When she opened the door, her life and the life of her roommate changed forever.
Miriam and Marzia were born into Muslim families in Iran. As young adults, they both became Christians. Converting from Islam is a crime in the Muslim world, punishable by death. The girls knowingly risked their lives and put Bibles in the hands of 20,000 people. They even started two secret house churches. In March 2009, Miriam and Marzia were arrested in Tehran, held in the infamous Evin prison, where they faced execution by hanging.
Please welcome to the 700 Club, Miriam and Marzia. It's nice to have both of you with us.
Thanks. Thank you.
Miriam, let me start with you because this whole thing started with you. You were on your couch in your own apartment. You'd come home from a dental appointment. The doorbell rang, and what happened?
Yeah, the day we got arrested, I was home waiting for Marzia to come back from the security police. And I knew that something bad would happen because we were both suspicious about the phone call that Marzia had received in the morning. And it was about 4 p.m. I heard the doorbell rang, and I heard the sound of Marzia with a few others behind the door. I looked through the people, and I could see her with three guards standing in front of the door. And for a moment, I thought that I needed to do something. I wanted to hide our cell phones, you know, to protect our friends and their information. And, you know, I wanted to turn off this TV because we were using satellite, which is illegal. And I was thinking that I needed to call someone and let them know what was happening. But my mind was in shock, and I couldn't do anything. I just opened the door, and they came, and they entered our apartment. They ransacked everywhere, and they took both of us with all our belongings, our Bibles, Jesus movies, and our personal belongings to the security police.
Marzia, when you came in that day, and the two of you were taken away, you were taken to a detention center first for a couple of weeks, and then to Evan Prison.
Yes.
What were the charges against you?
For the first day, and especially the first week, we were so scared and pale, even we couldn't talk, because their behavior was so brutal and humiliating. And the only thing that we could do was praying in tongues for each other, and God really strengthened us during that time. And they sent us to detention, and, promoting Christianity to be a Christian, it's not illegal. Uh-huh. It's legal. It's not legal. And they had to give us another charge. And they sent us, after 15 days, they sent us to Evin prison with the charge of anti-government, blasphemy, apostasy, and promoting Christianity.
Just based on the materials that you had in your apartment and whatever their suspicions of you were. What were the conditions like in the prison? I mean, we hear about Evin prison here in the Western world and the horrors of it. What was it like?
Of course, it was awful. This prison is notorious for arresting, torturing, raping, and executing of many innocent people. There are many respectful and intellectuals, like religious prisoners, like lawyers, students, journalists, and even doctors who are in prison just because their beliefs are against the government's inhuman rules. And like other political prisoners, we spent 259 days in this prison. And we had the experience of being in solitary confinement. Wow. And once a week, we were being interrogated by two interrogators for long hours.
So in solitary, you aren't even with each other. That must have been very frightening, Marzia. You don't know what's happened to her. They can really lie about things and make you think something's happened that has not. How did you survive that?
As Mariam explained, our situation in 209 was very worse, and they separated us for about 20 days. And each week, once a week, we were being interrogated by two interrogators for long hours, about 8-7 hours. And they took her, and I became worried about her situation because I didn't know where she is, and just I was praying for her to be safe. And we didn't have any information about outside. The cells was very small, and just we prayed, and God really helped us during that time.
What kind of deprivation did you see and experience in the prison? And I know that illness often is something that people suffer through there. Talk a little about that, Mariam.
Yeah, for 9 months we were both sick, and we were suffering from different kind of diseases. Marzia had many problems, kidney problems, toothache, and she had headaches, and she was sick all the time. And I had problems. I was poisoned twice in prison. And after 2 weeks, they sent me to a doctor, and she gave me a medicine which was wrong. And again, I was poisoned. And the doctor just laughed and told me, oh, okay, I think that I gave you wrong medicine. And it was not just about us. There were many prisoners in this prison, like political prisoners. And other normal prisoners, they are suffering from this situation in this prison.
At first, I know that you prayed to be released. I mean, I think that would be the natural prayer of anyone that's stuck in a situation like that. But then you began to pray for other people and see God move in the midst of your situation. What? Tell us some of the things that happened there. Marzia, why don't you start?
Yes. Yeah, you know, for the first week, I mentioned earlier that we were so scared, and just we prayed for our release because we didn't want to be in that brutal place. And But after that, we had many great opportunity to talk with many prisoners. There were many prostitutes, addicted people, and most of them they were so hopeless, sad, and disappointed. And we had a great opportunity with them. Before we arrested, we had two house church. One of them was for prostitutes, and the other one was for young people. And when we were in prison, we had this opportunity to be with many prostitutes, and every day we gather to each other and pray, and they cry, and some of them they confess their sins, and it was like a church for us, and that's why we understood that it is God's will to be in that prison, and we pray for most of prisoners.
What was the lowest point in prison for you?
You know, we spent 259 days in prison, and it was only one day that I couldn't feel the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were in solitary confinement, and we were not together. And one day, I just woke up, and I couldn't feel the presence of God. That was the worst experience I've ever had in my life. I was so sad.
You're listening to VFN Radio. What you're listening to is testimonies of two women that were arrested in Iran for evangelizing, sharing the gospel. And you listen to one of the ladies saying, out of 259 days of being incarcerated in this notorious Evin prison in Iran, mm-hmm. where there's torture, rape, brutality,
yeah.
8 hours of interrogation, the worst day of her 259-day sentence was the day that she couldn't feel the presence of God. I mean,
wow.
My goodness. Where have we gone? What I mean,
amazing.
One day without the presence of the Lord. How many are living today, weeks, months, years, as believers, and don't even know that God's presence is here or not here? I mean, we need to walk with the Lord in such a way that we're aware when His presence is near and when His presence is not near. We were designed for a relationship that we hear His voice mm-hmm. continually. But the worst day, what was the worst day for this lady was not the interrogations, was not the being alone, was not being, you know, away from her family, interrogated, tortured. No. It was not being in the Lord's presence. I want you to listen up and listen to how she responded and how God graced her. Listen to this.
I didn't know what to do. I was with a Muslim woman. She was a political prisoner. And I just heard a voice in my heart and that told me that start singing. And, you know, I wanted to sing, but I couldn't find the words. I knew many worship songs, mm-hmm. but I couldn't sing. And something was stopping me from praying and singing. And I felt that I needed to start singing in tongues. And, you know, there is a rule in that building 209 that no one is allowed to even speak loudly. And but I just at that moment, I just wanted to talk to my father. I wanted to have a relationship with him because it was so scary for me that I couldn't feel his presence. And just I started singing in tongues very loudly. And the woman in my cell was so scared. She told me, Maryam, please be quiet. The guards will come and they will punish you. But I continued singing. After 1 hour, I could feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit all around me and in my cell. And also my cellmate.
After 1 hour? After 1 hour of praying and singing in the Holy Ghost, she started feeling the presence of the Lord. I mean, do we pray for 5 minutes and say, okay, thank you, Lord. You know, thank right. you, Lord. Thank you. I'm done. 10 minutes. Thank you. No. Mm-hmm. She contended and prayed and faith and just said, I'm going to worship God no matter what. I got to have you, God. I got to have you. Listen to me. Listen up.
Who was a Muslim woman, she could feel the presence of God. And she asked me, please, can we sing in Farsi? I want to join you. I taught her some worship songs, and we started singing with each other. And after 2 hours, I could really feel the peace and joy. And God told me at that day that I am with you every day, even if you don't feel my presence.
That's a good word for everybody who's listening to your testimony. After 59 days you were released. Why do you think you were suddenly released?
You know, we believe that the first reason that we got released, it's because of God's grace and God's wills. And the second reason, it was about the Christian supports. We heard many Christians all around the world, they were supporting us either by praying and sending letters to prison, which was so encouraging for us. And it made the Iranian government angry. And also we heard that some international organization like United Nations, Amnesty, and even Pope from Vatican, they sent letters to Iranian government. And the Iranian government, they knew that many people from all around the world, they were watching their activities by their brutal behaviors, by keeping us in this dark and brutal place.
So it makes a difference when people sign these things. Sometimes we hear of someone who's in a prison scenario in another country, and online we're asked to sign petitions, and it does make a difference. What are you both doing with your lives now?
Our main goal here is to be a voice for voiceless. And we are living in a free country. We don't want to just live for ourselves. And we promised some of our friends in prison that we will be a voice for them in future. And we wrote our book, Captive in Iran, and we hope that we can spread the message of our book and be a voice for those who are still in prison, who are still suffering. By spreading the message of our book, and by, we put the names on our website, captiveiniran.com, the names of those people who are still in Evin prison because of their faith. And we want to encourage people to continue praying for them and continue sending letters to prisoners.
Prayer makes a huge difference. And we want to just encourage our viewers to go to your website and to pray for these friends you have put on there.
So important what we're listening to. About their faith, two women, so many people, believers. You know, you make excuse, you begin to settle and trying to live for an American dream. And it's like, wait a minute, these two women encountered Jesus. That's the whole thing. If you have to encounter God. Encountering God makes all the difference. Because when you encounter Jesus Christ, all you want to do is give him your life. And they risked their life. This was illegal what they were doing in their country. They knew that they could get in trouble, and yet they were bold and with faith stepped out and delivered 20,000. 20,000 Bibles.
Wow.
Had churches that met in homes. Two of them. And were willing to go through what they went through.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that it's powerful to see what God does. You know, with those that truly love him and are willing to obey him and are willing to step out and say, God, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about these remarkable women that laid their lives down for Jesus Christ. And we just listened to a remarkable story of two Iranian women who converted from Islam to Christianity, knowing that what they were going to do could cost them their life, could cost them everything, the rejection of their family. And these two women, one had a vision with Jesus.
Powerful.
And they were given a call to distribute 20,000 Bibles to the Iranian people. And they were arrested. They were arrested and were sentenced to 259 days in Evin prison. It's a notorious prison there in Iran. It's actually where Brother Saeed is actually.
He's held in the same one?
Yeah, he's in the same prison. Well, they're raping people there, according to these women. They're torturing them. They had 8 hours of interrogation. One was poisoned twice. And it was interesting that the interviewer asked her, what was the worst day? She says her worst day, of 259 days, is the day that she didn't feel the Lord's presence. And
wow,
I mean, beautiful walk with God. I mean, that's God's presence is so important. That's what we, you know, every day we need to be aware of his presence, of his love, how much he cares for us, you know, his voice. And it was a lesson for her. It was a beautiful lesson for her, because as she just only thing she needed to do was just to pray in the spirit, you know, sing in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
and just go after God to the point where even, listen, if you come get me, I'm making noise, whatever, but it doesn't matter. So when you get to that point, you should be in this point. It doesn't matter. Everything's got to go. I got to have God. You can have houses. You can have cars. You can have money. Mm-hmm. You can have all these temporal things. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Lord in you, what do you have?
Yeah.
You know, all other ground is sinking sand, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think about that song, you know. You want to stand on something that's strong, that's secure. It's God. At the end of the day, there's nothing sadder to see the end of someone's life and as they review it and they're coming to the end of it. And I've been at many, many, many deathbeds being a chaplain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at a medical trauma center, it's nothing more sadder to see someone reviewing their life and realizing that most of their life was regret. It was all for naught,
mm-hmm.
because they led people and friends and family to all these other things that they thought was right, but they didn't lead them to Jesus. They didn't know anything about God.
That's right.
Their life was void of the Lord. And you could avoid tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want my life to end that way. Mm-hmm. I don't want my life. I want my life right now to be all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everyone in this, I mean, look around. The reason why people are shocked when things happen is because they hung their hat on something so securely and said, this is that,
right.
You know, it's about this. Or it's about this job. Or we finally got the home. Or finally got the relationship. Or finally got what I wanted, and this is the mother load. As soon as you said this was that,
yeah,
God said, nope.
It's gone.
It's got to go.
Yeah.
Because only He is the one. Hang your head on God. Make God your habitation. It's, you know, put your roots down deep in the Lord. And so she said, I learned something really powerful. And she said, God spoke to her, heard God's voice. And she said, the Lord said, I am with you every day. I'm with you even though you don't feel me.
Hmm.
We have to be so secure in our walk with God. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Wow.
He's an ever-present help. He's with you. It's not about a feeling. The kingdom of God is not about a feeling. It's a
fact.
Fact. It's a fact. It's a fact, surety
and certainty.
Certainty. Being fully persuaded that God is God. Mm-hmm. I am. The great I am, right?
That's right.
He is whatever He needs to be in our life for that situation and that timing. And the interviewer asked her, why'd you get out? And she says, well, God's will.
That's right.
God's will. You know, God has a plan for us. He doesn't have to filter it through our mind. And you go, well, how they could be in prison? How could they be part of God's mind? And, you know, how could that happen? It's like, listen, this is not about us. We didn't decide to be born. We didn't pick our parents. We didn't decide what country we're going to be. We didn't decide any of this.
That's right.
But God says that He knit us in our mother's womb, that He knew us before the foundations of the earth. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that God has plans. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And God will give us grace. He will empower us for whatever situation that we're in. There is a grace for the place. And they found that in the most horrific hell place on earth, Jesus said, I am with you always.
Sorry.
And God used them to reach out to the lowly, to the rejected, to the despised. And they had a voice. They were able to minister to people that they never would have had a chance to minister to in that situation. They didn't sit on their lazy boys. They weren't talking about more things that they needed to do and go to the mall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they got out there and they did the work of the Lord. You got to ask yourself, I mean, if there was enough, if you were arrested now, Pat, Chris, I mean, you guys, but I'm just asking the question, you
for
know,
what,
out
though?
Loud here. Well, I'm finishing. If you were arrested for being a Christian, I'm not asking you directly the question, but,
right,
you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, I'm asking you.
I would hope so.
right?
I would
hope
there
be enough evidence?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they arrested them, and what did they do? They were a threat. They were a threat because of their fruit and their life. They were being followed. And then when they got to their home, they found additional evidence that supported their belief that these women were Christians, that they were distributing. They had satellite. They had the Jesus movie. They had Bibles.
They had it going on.
They had it going on. They had it going on. And it just makes you think about all the excuses that people make about why they can't obey a God, you know, why they can't do what God's asked us to do. I mean, he says, go into all the world.
All right.
Forget all the world. We can't get people to get go outside the front door, much less go into all the world. You know what I mean?
All right. Go down the street next door.
Go tell your neighbor Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. And these women risked it all. And I mean, isn't that what living for God is all about? It's not my will, but your will. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it's not about me living, right? But let your will be done. It's about living the crucified life, which is the only way to have abundant life in God.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, your desires, your
That's
wishes,
right.
your plans, I mean, who are we to devise plans and ideas? And it's like, what? God is the one who's in charge. He's the one that's mapping all of this out.
That's right.
We talked yesterday about on VFN Radio, instead of us falling into the trap of trying to get God to bless our plans, Lord, would you? Why don't we just ask God, Lord, what are your plans? What are your plans so that I can jump both of my feet into your plans and the will of God?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that's the place to be. God's plan, God's way, God's timing. Let me tell you, happiness and success. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
'Cause he's the boss. He's the boss.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.